Rahmanur Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our sixth year of Ramadan Reflections. This year for 2020, the theme which we have chosen to analyze over 30 days is qualities to attain and abstain, decoding Quranic verses of character traits Allah likes and dislikes. Now, before we can delve into the verses which we have chosen for this year and the traits which we wish to review from the Noble Quran, we need to better understand what it means by the likes and dislikes of Allah. Therefore, in the first three sessions, we will study what it means when we talk about the emotions of Allah and how it is possible for us to use the phrase what Allah likes and dislikes. From there, we will spend one session on understanding the importance of the Noble Quran, and given that this is the month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was given to the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, we need to better understand the role of this book in the guidance of all of humanity. We will then dedicate one day to analyzing taqwa, as the Quran reminds us that fasting during the month of Ramadan, that this was implemented so that we may become people of taqwa, people of God consciousness. And thus we should review and reflect on what this trait is so as to make the most of the blessed month. From there, we will then start our review of the traits which Allah likes and dislikes, taking a break during the 19th, the 20th, and the 21st of Ramadan to remember the greatest man to walk this earth, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and upon his noble father. In this regards, we will study the merits of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, as contained within the verses of the Noble Quran. For today, however, let us begin our topic of Allah and emotions, part 1, to lay the foundation for the rest of our discussion. What does it mean when Muslims speak about the pleasure and anger of Allah? By employing phrases such as radiyallahu anhu or radiyallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with him, or may Allah be pleased with her. We can understand the traits of pleasure and anger as it relates to human beings in our lives and our interaction with other people. We become happy and angry with people based on their actions either done to us or to others. But this is natural for us because we are made to go through such mood changes and sways in our emotions. However, does Allah have such emotions and feelings? Does Allah get happy and angry by seeing things which His creations do? Does Allah go through mood swings like human beings do? How do we understand the verses of the Quran, which incidentally are not few in number, in which Allah describes those people or those characteristics which He is happy with, and those people or traits which He is angry with? So for example, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter number 5, Allah says, قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمٌ يَنْفُؤُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Allah will say, this is the day when their truth shall benefit the truthful ones. They shall have gardens beneath which rivers flow to abide in them forever. Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Allah. That is the mighty achievement. In another example of Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, Allah says the following, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. And as for the foremost, the first of the Muhajir, emigrants, and the Ansar, the helpers, and those who follow them in goodness, Allah is well pleased with them, and they are well pleased with Him. And He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, to abide in them forever. That is the mighty achievement. But as we know, pleasure in the sense used for Allah must differ from the human emotion of pleasure. Happiness in the human being is a type of heartfelt feeling and spiritual attraction, while Allah has neither a heart nor a soul, and the essence of Allah is excluded from any type of transformation. Therefore, we can say that Allah's pleasure and wrath are actually the attributes of the actions of Allah, and these are abstracted from the relationship between Allah and His acts, meaning His creations. And in our discussion, this relates to us, the human beings. Now, this can be better understood by reflecting on the relationship between human traits and actions which a human performs, which are abstracted from the relationship between a person and their actions. So, for example, when someone does the work of making things from wood, such as doors, windows, cabinets, bookshelves, tables, he is called a carpenter. But carpentry is not a part of his human nature. Carpentry is not, in essence, the attribute of a human being, but rather it is the attribute of the action which he carries out. And so we derive from the action of the human, not from his essence, a title such as a carpenter, and we attribute that to that individual. However, with regards to Allah, regardless of the existence of the creations of Allah, neither pleasure as a trait is meaningful to Allah, nor wrath. In other words, Allah's pleasure and His wrath are in fact an objective realization of His creations, in this case the human beings. And because this creation, the human beings, because they have a relationship with Allah, Him being their creator, we abstract from that creation the adjective and trait for Allah. Therefore, the satisfaction and pleasure, the rida of Allah, is associated to His attribute of His action and is not an attribute of Himself or His essence, because we cannot ascribe such a thing to His essence as it is not transformable, such that if His servants disobey Him one day, that He would, quote-unquote, become angry. And the next day, if they were to obey Him, He would, quote-unquote, become happy. Thus, when we say that Allah is pleased, it means that He will deal with those servants with goodness. He will send His mercy upon them. He will confer His blessings upon those people. Because He bestows paradise and blessings upon His servants due to their servitude and obedience towards Him. Conversely, when we say that Allah is angry, it means that He will deal with His servants with wrath, meaning that He will not show mercy to those individuals and will punish them, but He will do so due to their own actions of disobedience. The result of this is 3 points. Number one, Allah's pleasure and satisfaction are attributes of Allah's actions, not His inherent attributes. Point number two, the attributes of Allah's actions are abstracted from the relationship between Allah and His acts, and in fact their return is essentially to the creatures of Allah. And point number three is that Allah's pleasure and satisfaction with His servants are manifested by His bestowal of the everlasting gift of heavenly blessings upon the servants due to their good actions. Therefore, in summary and to conclude, when we say that Allah is pleased with a servant of His, it means that the servant himself or herself has been graced with paradise, blessings, and divine worthiness. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.